The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, the folks on the left continued their apoplectic meltdown after the release of the what hopefully, God willing, will be the Supreme Court decision. This was the one that was leaked on Monday night by Sam Alito, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. For example, Elizabeth Warren just exploding on The View. Warren began her alarmist screed by saying, "It's that the Supreme Court has not just said we're not going to have Roe. They have now opened the door to an investigation and an intrusion beyond anything most of us imagine. So now they've opened up the possibility of your contraception might be a contraception like an IUD that works after an egg is fertilized," The View host acted shocked. She then went even more hyperbolic, adding that your miscarriage could what? Be investigated by the local police? She found an even more extreme example, that you could be monitored, that you lifted a package that was too heavy and threatened a pregnancy thereby. Are you thinking about killing your child in the womb? These people are going nuts. I've talked about it, and we're going to talk about it some more today. An interesting question, why are they going nuts? So it's helpful to speak to people on this subject that not only understand it because they've been in the activism world and the political world for years, but because they have the guidance and the truth of the Holy Spirit. And in this case, one's skin color will also have an impact on one's perspective on abortion because it has a disproportionate and incredibly destructive impact on the African-American community. So we're always excited to have our brother Dean Nelson back on the air. He's the vice president of government relations at Human Coalition. He's done a bunch of stuff over the years with the Frederick Douglass Foundation and the Frederick Douglass Leadership Institute. And we met each other, gosh, Dean, I think it was all the way back in like 2005 or 2006 at CNP. But God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
Man, I am doing great. It's good to be on a little offense every now and again, and you know, it's good to be on your show, man. Thanks so much for the opportunity, as always.
You're very welcome. It was great seeing you the other week when you were here. How interesting the timing was. Dean and I ran into each other. Human Coalition did an event here in Raleigh about what do we do in a post-Roe North Carolina, and we thought back then, most of us, and I've always been very skeptical. I thought that we would get a decision that might limit it to 15 weeks, and that would be major given the extent of Roe v. Wade and all the blood that's been spilt since 1973. But I was shocked Monday night when that came out. What was your reaction, Dean?
Shocked for sure. I was actually in St. Louis at a major Church of God in Christ event. And whenever I go to St. Louis for these events, something crazy always happens. I was there when Donald Trump, the very night that Donald Trump won the election over Hillary Clinton, I was there like 2 years ago when they made a major announcement, a strong pro-life statement for their entire denomination. So everything happens, man. And it took me by shock. I was texting, and then I literally had to walk out of the ceremony to do some business because we had to come up with some some talking points for our organization. But it was shocking to say the least.
Yeah, and of course we have a dear mutual friend. I refer to him as my slightly older brother from another mother. That would be Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Senior.
Yes,
and so, yeah, I mean, it's been amazing to be on offense and actually see something like this. Why do you think the people on the left, and Elizabeth Warren is just one of a billion examples, are so apoplectic? Why are they so – they're just going ballistic, acting as if when Roe gets overturned that all of a sudden abortion will be illegal nationwide. I wish that were the case. That simply isn't. It just gets pushed back down to the states. But what do you think's behind it? They are absolutely losing their minds.
Yeah, I think there are three things from my vantage point, Steve. Number one is because – they just thought that it's just sacrosanct. They cannot believe that this day would come. We are of the mindset that people should have this type of decision made by themselves and by their state legislatures voting, not by seven people, you know, making the decision, you know, at the federal level as judges for the entire, you know, nation. So I think number one, ideologically, it's just hard for them to believe. They just cannot fathom it. And I think number two is they are funded by a multi-billion-dollar industry. I mean, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And I think yes. Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry has had such a grip on the Democrat Party that I believe that's the other reason why they have gone ballistic. And then lastly, I think they're going to continue to make as much noise because they don't have anything else going into the midterm elections. They think that this is going to be like their issue. They can't run on much of anything else. And so I think that they think that this is the one thing that they have. And I think that they're going to find out that Americans are wearied by this. The vast majority of Americans want some limits on abortion. Even only 18% of Democrats want abortion completely on demand. So I think that when they ultimately hear at the voter booth in November, I think that they're going to be surprised that everybody doesn't think just like California and New York.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in America would be shocked to know. I would assume the vast majority of our fellow citizens, Dean, don't know that we're only one of seven countries in the world that allows abortions after 20 weeks. And two of those seven countries are China and North Korea. I mean, we are amongst the worst company on the planet when it comes to the destruction of human life in the womb. And it's going to be fascinating to watch it on a state-by-state level, but it's also going to be a huge challenge for us. We've been praying about it, crying about it, working towards it for decades now. And then when it finally happens, do you think we're ready? And I'm gonna hold you through the break. So do you have some extra time once we hit the break?
Without a doubt.
All right, cool. So do you think we're ready, and what are we going to need to do? Obviously between now and November, but after November and assuming Roe falls.
Well, number one is that we have to be in every individual state prepared to have good legislation in those states, legislation that is going to protect innocent human life, but legislation that is going to be informed, like what we've done at Human Coalition, to really provide help for women who find themselves in these crisis situations. For a long time, we've worked in the private industry and more recently alongside government to provide some type of support for women when they find themselves in these difficult situations. We're partnering with organizations like Million Moms Off of Welfare to make sure that they get the support that they need, but at the same time, we don't want anybody, you know, dependent upon those things.
That's
and I believe that the church has a huge opportunity to step in.
Amen. Dean, I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Dean Nelson, the Vice President of Government Relations at Human Coalition, humancoalition.org. Such an opportunity. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, and I've had so many great conversations this week with my students. I get about 110 students every week. In my U.S. history classes, they're all high school age homeschoolers here in the area, but we are adding online classes for the fall because I just know the Lord has called me to disciple and teach as many young people as I can. So I teach U.S. history now. I teach civics. Those are both two-semester classes, and I teach Christian ethics, and we've been talking in all three classes this week about the enormity of what's going on with the Supreme Court and Roe versus Wade. And if the Supreme Court all of a sudden can be pressured in one direction or the other because of public opinion or protests or getting doxxed and people showing up at your house, then you've just lost the Supreme Court. You might as well just take the Supreme Court, stick it in Congress, because now we can go after them like we can with members of Congress. And it's just another political organization. And I was glad to see Justice Roberts again. He came out and publicly speaking today at an event. Was really, that's the strongest terminology I've ever seen him using, so disgusted at what happened with this leak. Because if all of a sudden you can turn the Supreme Court based on public pressure, you've lost the Supreme Court, you've lost the rule of law, you no longer live in a nation governed by laws, you live in a nation governed by men. And it's the men that are the loudest and most intimidating, that's tyranny. And so this is massively important, besides the fact that if and when Roe falls, and I believe it will, you've got a Plessy Ferguson. You've got kind of a Lawrence v. Texas. You certainly have a Board of Education, Brown versus Board of Education level event here that's going to have massive implications for Americans and for America in general. And so it's, you got to be engaged. You got to understand what's going on here. But Joe Biden, Jen Psaki earlier today, Psaki says Biden respects and understands the separation of powers, but he won't take a view on whether protesters should pressure Supreme Court justices. Well, when they BLM gone bad, show up at the houses of these people, the Supreme Court justices, four or five of them, and this stupid Twitter group called Ruth sent us, by the way, that's a nod to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who has said some things in the past that she didn't think Roe versus Wade was actually good legal thinking. But they doxed members of the Supreme Court, meaning they gave out, looks like, their home addresses. And the president of the United States isn't coming out blasting that. Well, one of the reasons is I don't think he's capable of it. I don't think he's that cognizant. But it's really remarkable. These are remarkable days. And for us as Christ followers who have the truth, we have to engage, which is why we're so excited, as always, to talk to Dean Nelson, Vice President of Government Relations at Human Coalition. Thanks again, brother, for calling in.
Man, it's great to be on your show. And I will just tell you that for the multiple times that, you know, I have been down at the Supreme Court, it is a it's a spiritual battle for sure.
Oh,
and the left does not care. I was there when Chuck Schumer made his infamous comments trying to scare. This was like last year before, Gorsuch and others. I mean, shouting in front of the Supreme Court, like, I dare you to do so. I mean, literally, jeez. These are other officials that he's like challenging. I mean, Supreme Court officials, they don't have respect for the court. They don't have respect for the law. They want things the way that they want them. And I'm glad that we still have a semblance of a representative democracy that we need to preserve.
Yeah, it's really shocking to see this kind of stuff. Of course, one of the words that immediately comes to my mind when I see somebody like Schumer or Pelosi, they were apoplectic Monday night. As the word demonic comes to the front of my mind so quickly, when you watch the protests and everything, what happened in L.A. the other night, and I put something out the other day on social media, Dean. I'm like, all right, now what you're doing is watching the prophets of Baal as their God is being attacked, because it's the ultimate symbol for them of so many different things, not the least of which is money, as you mentioned. But the abortion institution, the act itself, is their ultimate kind of middle finger to the God of the Bible and biblical morality, and all of us included. And it does represent the whole movement, this anti-God movement that's at the heart of progressivism in most ways. And it's just wild to me to watch it, but through spiritual eyes primarily. And we got to remember that, don't we?
Oh, my goodness. We have to remember that. And I want to, you know, now just call on, you know, every church, you know, in North Carolina, in your listening area, that to make a priority, particularly this Sunday. It's going to be Mother's Day, but make a priority to pray for mothers that are in need. Make [S2] Yes. [S1] A priority to pray for our nation as we head into, you know, this very contentious battle. I mean, I've seen the reports that some activist groups are calling on members and activists to go disrupt church services on Sunday.
Yep.
I've seen already this week we've had, you know, pregnancy centers that have been attacked. So there's an attack that's coming, and we need to be spiritually prepared for that before this comes. And so my encouragement is to all of us to really take time to fast and pray as this is moving forward.
Amen. And not just in the immediate future, but all through the summer as we move towards the election, and certainly after. This is not going to go away anytime soon. And this is a God that's been running, a little G God that's been running rampant and killing babies, not just here in America, but around the world. And that's not going to go down without a fight. Those demons are not going to go down without a fight. So I'm so glad you're reminding us this is, first and foremost, a spiritual battle. I wanted to reference this article you have on the World Magazine's website, Pro-Life Regardless of Skin Color. This one just came out, Dean. The black perspective is missing from the abortion debate. What is the black perspective?
Man, thank you for bringing that up. You know, that article was really important to me because, even as I mentioned earlier, you know, there are large numbers, like a third of Democrats, and they support, you know, Democrats for certain reasons, but a third of them consider themselves to be pro-life. And I happen to have mentored a young lady who is now the president of Democrats for Life. She is an elected official in Michigan who is doing sound work. You know, her twin sister is a Republican, both pro-life. And so my point really with that is that when a lot of these discussions are had, a lot of times those who have been impacted the most by the abortion issue sometimes are left out of the discussion. And I think that it's important for us to make sure that, like, groups like the Church of God in Christ, with 6.1 million members, a national, Christian, denomination, has a very strong public stand on the sanctity of human life. But whenever you read articles, there's no mention. I mean, that's the fourth largest denomination in the country, yeah. And almost nobody even knows that they have this strong pro-life declaration.
Yeah, because it's very inconvenient to the movement to have pro-life black Christians out there, because their assumption is every black person in America, Christian or not, is on their team when it comes to the abortion issue, and that's simply not right.
Yeah, and listen, we have to do our work, and we criticize, yep. Fairly across the board with, black churches that have voices. I mean, we've got Raphael Warnock, who is an elected member, and I have, particularly publicly slammed, him and his position. We need to make sure that we have it both ways, but I do feel like that we have a huge opportunity to speak to and to engage with people just like you've done with Bishop Wooden.
Yeah, amen. We have to keep those conversations going, and it only has to increase. And that's for the sake of moms and dads and babies all across this country. Church, we have to be ready. We have to be spiritually engaged. We have to be physically engaged to be the answer that they're going to need when they have these crisis pregnancies come up. Dean Nelson, Vice President of Government Relations, Human Coalition. Everybody, that's humancoalition.org is the website. Just one of the greatest pro-life organizations in America, humancoalition.org. God bless you, Dean. I appreciate you, bro. We'll talk again soon.
Bless you, man. Keep doing your hard work.
I will. You do the same. We'll talk again soon. That was Dean Nelson. What a great brother, man. He's been out on the front lines for decades now. And that's the type of people follow him as he follows Christ. And he's doing that all the time. You won't believe the video clip I'm going to play for you when we come back. It's crazy. We'll be right back.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Yes, well, I don't think it's going to be crazy what I'm about to say, but it's going to be crazy what you're about to hear. So this was Anna Kasparian. She's the executive producer and host of The Young Turks, The Young Turks on YouTube, and they are aggressive and shockingly so, and uber progressive, uber liberal. You go look at her Twitter account, and if you struggle with reading or seeing or hearing bad language, you don't want to go to Anna Kasparian's Twitter account. At Anna Kasparian. So this is her little meltdown about what's going on with Roe versus Wade and the Alito decision. Now, I want you to listen to this. There's one part where she takes the Lord's name in vain, and we bleep that out, okay? So it's about a minute and 20 seconds long. I just listen, and we're going to deal with – there's multiple facets on this particular diamond, okay? And we're going to deal with all of them. This is Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks melting down over – well, you'll figure it out pretty quick. All right, play it.
These comments might be strong, but it's how I genuinely feel. I don't care that you're a Christian. I don't care what the Bible says. Like, I feel like it's a clown show, like sitting here trying to decipher what your little mythical book has to say about these very real political issues, right? I don't care if you're Christian. In fact, I will fight for you to have your religious liberty and practice your Christianity. I believe in that. I don't believe in Christianity, which means that you do not get to dictate the way I live my life based on your religion. I don't care what the Bible says. You have every right in the world. All those women who identify with your religion have every right in the world to not get an abortion, to not take birth control, but they do not have the right to dictate my life and what I decide to do with my body. I don't care about your religion. I'm so tired of having nonstop conversations about what the Bible says. You live your life in the way that you interpret the Bible. Again, I don't care, but you don't get to take the Bible and tell me, well, the Bible says this in this chapter and this verse. I don't care. I don't care. I don't believe in it. And I have the right, based on our Constitution, to not believe in it.
Okay. All right. So hopefully this isn't the first time you've heard somebody speaking like this. This is just, there's so much here. that I have to unpack and get through in this segment. And then in the fourth segment, we're going to have our friend Adina Safta back on, who's running for Congress. And very challenging when you run in a primary, you're running against people in your own party, and you're running against the system and the machine, and it's challenging. And she's just a small business owner. She loves the Lord and is trying to fight the good fight according to the way she sees it. And she was on the show before, so we're going to talk about that in the fourth segment. But okay, let's go back to this. Let's go back to this gal. So she's losing her mind here. Because we're trying to tell her, all of us Christians, with what's going on with Roe versus Wade, trying to tell her what to do with her body. Are any of you trying to tell her what to do with her body, by the way? Anybody? Anybody in here trying to tell her, tell Anna Kasparian what she's to do with her body? Anybody? Is anybody trying to do that? Now, if she asked me, I'd have a conversation with her. But is that what's really going on here, Anna? Do you really think that Samuel Alito, have you read the 64-page agreement, 64-page opinion? Hopefully that ends up being the majority opinion. Have you read it, Anna? Because if you've read it, you're going to find out it's not a Christian decision. It isn't. He's not quoting chapter and verse. He's not trying to impose his Catholicism on your body or your mind or your way of life. He isn't. He's dealing with it as a lawyer through a legal perspective. Ma'am, your problem really, you obviously have a problem with the Bible. Your bigger problem was with the Constitution. This is a constitutional maneuver. This is something that the Constitution put in place as a way that the process works, and they shouldn't overturn a decision like this. Really? Is that what you were going to say about Brown versus Board of Education? Plessy Ferguson? We should have separate but equal? You're okay with that? Are you okay with the poll taxes? You're okay with slavery? No, there's decisions that get made that have to get reversed later. And she's just going ballistic. Want to know why? Here's the double-edged sword. Because when you're pro-life, it screams Bible. It screams God. Even though not every pro-life person, there's plenty of pro-life atheists out there, pro-life agnostics, pro-life people that have nothing to do with Christianity. Okay? But when you are pro-life, people outside of Christianity, especially somebody like Anna, who's so hostile to it, because what fellowship does darkness have with light? To those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. So when you're a Christian and you actually stand up and say, I believe the Bible, I believe in God's moral law, then you are just the fingernails on the chalkboard for a significant portion of this country. And so right now, turning over Roe versus Wade is turning over her little g God, which is herself, her autonomy, telling God, the Bible, and all Christians to go take a flying leap. And so when this gets reversed, this is an attack on her rebellion. That's how she sees it, because ultimately this is a spiritual issue. It's got political and legal clothing on it, but at its essence, this is a spiritual conversation. Which is why she's apoplectic, which is why Elizabeth Warren is apoplectic, because this is a win if it gets overturned, and I believe to a certain extent, for the word of God and the protection of human life, the sanctity of human life. Why is it sanctified? Why is it precious? Because it's made in the image of, God, capital G, Anna. And that's why you hate it. Because you hate the notion of God. And then you say, hey, I'll fight for your freedom of speech. Yeah, as long as we stay in the church and don't say anything. But ma'am, you do realize, Anna, listen, here's my deal. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible. I believe in God's moral law. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The only difference between us and heaven and hell is whether we decide to go get our junk dealt with through the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. Okay. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. If we were going to do it God's way, the Bible's way, abortion would be outlawed wholesale. Not only here in America, at all intervals in the pregnancy. And no matter what, no matter how you got pregnant, the sanctity of human life will protect children, just like it'll protect middle-aged people and elderly people. It'll protect you from euthanasia. It'll protect you in the womb. And abortion, Anna, would be outlawed. If we were going to do this the Bible's way, it would be outlawed. And the doctor that committed it, the doctor that did it, would be guilty of murder. That would be first-degree murder, a capital offense. If you wanted it, if we were going to do this the Bible's way, then Roe versus Wade wouldn't push the decision back to the states. It would just be outlawed. Done, period. Steve, are you saying that you would prefer not the 10th Amendment, where we guarantee if we're not clear, if it's not constitutional, if we can't make a clear case for the federal side, then push it down to the states? Are you saying, Steve, you have a problem with the 10th Amendment when it comes to the killing of babies? Yes, I do. I believe this is a federal issue. I believe the Constitution protects all levels of life, from the oldest to the youngest, in the womb and out of the womb. I believe the Constitution applies to the unborn human being here in America. Therefore, murdering them, for whatever reason, chiefly for your convenience, is illegal based on the U.S. Constitution. So, yeah, that's what I think, but that's not what's happening here. Anna, believe me, Anna, this isn't going the Bible's way. It's going in that direction, but it's going to get pushed down to the states, and there's going to be probably half the states in this country, at least, that are going to continue to sacrifice children on the altar of convenience. And then setting aside the exceptions, which is a much more difficult conversation, rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Setting that aside, most of this country will continue to bow down at the altar of dead babies. And so, Anna, you should be thrilled about that. The last thing, Anna, you want is the Bible. Because you know what that means. Because the law was written on your heart, Anna. And you have a conscience, Anna, and that was given to you by your Creator. And you bristle about judgment because you know your deeds are dark. That's why you hate the light. I hated it too. I hated the light too because I knew my deeds were dark. I knew it. I hated the light, which means I hated God. And you're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. And the only way you're a child of God is when you accept the fact. You deal with the fact, Anna, like I had to, that we're sinners. We're messed up. We're a train wreck, morally speaking. And you can't buy your way out of it. Your good looks aren't going to get you out of it. Your career isn't going to get you out of it. All the good causes that you think you're helping, that's not going to get you out of it either. Because we've both deeply offended, eternally offended a perfectly holy and just God. And we deserve to die forever for that. But that doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't. I know that feels terrible. I didn't like being judged either. But yet that is the truth. That's the reality. And you know it. And right now at this point in your life, Anna, you hate it. Because you don't want to be judged. But it is the truth. And you mock God. And you take his name in vain. But you know he's real. Romans chapter 1. We go to the Bible. Sorry. I'm going to the Bible. God's made it plain. You look up at that stars-filled sky. You look at the ocean. You look at life. You look at the ecosystems. And you know that's not an accident. There's a designer. And he designed you too, Anna. And he loves you. And he died for you. And that's the only way you're going to get out of this. So I hope you'll consider it. And we're not trying to force the Bible on you. God doesn't do that. I don't do it either. That's your choice. You have a free will. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We're going to come back and talk to Adina Sopta, adinaforcongress.com. Boy, it's tough to run in a primary, man. It's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. We'll talk to Adina about it when we come back. Okay, you have to be a certain age to even know what that reference is. Bruce Lee, one of the greatest martial arts fighters in the world, and in the history of the world, and certainly in the history of entertainment and movies. It was just a phenomenon, Bruce Lee, just amazing martial artist. And so that's the point of that song, I'll Be Your Bruce Lee. Somebody to protect you, somebody to fight for you. And so we've got a situation in politics today, and there's a lot about Donald Trump I appreciated. There were a decent amount of things about Donald Trump I did not appreciate. There's my flesh side and my fighting side and my political side, and then there's my Christ side, and sometimes those sides don't fit well together. It's a very difficult environment to play in, and I'm in here 5 days a week. I was just talking about it off the air on Facebook Live and YouTube Live that I struggle with my anger and backlash, and man, politics can really bring out the worst in me, and I struggle with it. But we got to have fighters. So if I can find somebody out there when I'm voting personally, Steve Noble voting, I'm not speaking on behalf of any of these radio stations or any of that. But when I'm picking people, if I can find a believer, I want to start there because then I have the power of the Holy Spirit. At least I can invest in that. But just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you'd be a good politician. Just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're necessarily going to run a good business, right? But if I can get that, I'm going to start there. And then when in the world of politics where we have so much compromise and going along to get along, I would prefer to have somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit, but is also tough and willing to get in there and mix it up. And people like that, I'm all for it because that's what we need. This is a battle. And it's a battle not just for our own lives, but for the lives of our neighbors, that being about 340 million of them around the country, which is why I appreciate Adina Safta being on today. AdinaForCongress.com was in the studio recently. But fighting the good fight of faith, trying to bring the truth of God's word into the political realm, that's not an easy gig. Adina, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Pretty good. So how do you, as a sister in Christ and somebody that's trying to impact life here in North Carolina and go up to Congress there in D.C., the crazy pit of D.C., how do you kind of keep – I know it's difficult. We've communicated enough. How do you kind of keep it all together? Because the world of politics can be very maddening and very frustrating.
Yeah, so I realized and told myself, you know, the harder it gets, the closer I know that I am to God. Because I feel like in just even more like recent days, things just keep getting worse and worse. And you think about like, this is, you know, us fighting against each other, not Democrats and Republicans. This is us fighting rhinos against Americans. And so a lot of my, you know, other candidates that are running throughout the state of North Carolina are getting the same thing. And so it's kind of, you know, again, the devil's trying to work, but the God turns it around and says, hey, now everybody wake up. Like, these are the true fighters. Vote for them. They're going through hell. So you know that the devil's trying really hard to, you know, get them to fail. So I just smile at that. When it gets harder, I smile because it's like, okay, thank you. I realize. I think the devil gave up on me because he knows he has no shot. So yeah. I just smile.
Yeah, and Dean is fighting to be the Republican candidate for the 2nd Congressional District in North Carolina. And it's a tough battle. And you know, you run into the existing machine that's been out there for a while. And a lot of us that are kind of on the outside and then get to the inside, once you start getting on the inside, it can be frustrating because sometimes the machine just wants to do the thing that it's always done. And it can be very frustrating. And then to deal with opponents who also happen to be Republicans in this case, that's a challenge.
Yeah, yep. I keep saying to everyone, you know, like, we talk about Democrats, but we need to, like, look at how they're actually standing united. And we're fighting each other so badly. And I know that there's a good blend of them fighting. I mean, I feel like God is honestly giving me this appetizer just so I'm prepared for the main force, which is Deborah Ross. So I'm thankful for it. But at the same time, you know, there's things that I see. And my duty as a Christian woman and conservative is that when I see something that doesn't look good and there's, you know, it's questionable, I feel like I need to bring it up. I can't sit back and watch destruction happen, right? Public servants don't just sit back. When they see something that's not right, they bring it up. And so I thank you for, you know, always speaking the truth and being bold and not, you know, like following God and not just the government and the money hungry politicians, you know, the power that they follow.
One of the problems I have with primary candidates, whether we're talking about the race you're in 2nd Congressional District or anywhere else in the state or anywhere else in the country, for that matter, I never understand it when people – and Ted Budd's done this. I never understand it when people won't go to debates. This is a country that was built on debate. We started debating the Constitution before we ratified it. That's where we got the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And you have to be able to take the heat and get in there and defend your position. We should be able to do this as Christians as well.
Yes.
I just don't understand that.
I don't. And I tell people, like, I want tough questions. Like, sometimes supporters will email me and say, I'm so sorry, this is not an attack. I just, like, really want to know. And I'm like, your questions were easy. Like, go hard on me. Like, you need to know the truth. Look, I'm fed up. That's why I'm running. Enough is enough. Ask me the toughest questions you can think of. And yes, I agree with you. America was built on true believers that are not afraid to stand up for what's right and stand up and debate and give the opportunity to the people that we work for to see us shake our hand and look us in the eyes and say, yep, you're fraud, next.
Right. Yeah, and you have to get that. You have to get that in space. I know that you had a debate just recently where they were worried about some COVID. This made no sense to me. Worried about some COVID concerns. I'm like, hello, what are we talking about? And then you go to a Zoom debate, which is not the same. If I'm standing in the room with somebody, that changes everything. The whole environment is different. And if you're worried about COVID, you don't have to force anybody to come to the debate. I guess not you and not your competitors. None of you had COVID. Right. So what's the big deal? I didn't understand that.
It's protection, you know, protection from the establishment. And the thing, too, it's like, okay, like for a moment, I was like, wait, what party is this? Like, who am I talking to? Like, I really felt like Donald Trump when he was debating Joe, but then just add Hillary to the mix. It was like I was debating both of them, you know, they were being protected. And I was like, I mean, I was literally interrupted while I was speaking in the middle of my sentence. My microphone was cut off. So I turned it on and I said, that's just disrespectful. Like, who am I speaking to? Like, the party should have respect for people that are throwing their names in a hat.
Yeah.
In a hat that when I was the only one running, everybody was discouraging from running. It was like, you're crazy. Why are you doing this? And I was the only one for several months. And I said, it doesn't matter. The people is what matters. And now all of a sudden, it's a winnable district. And, you know, I'm just still the redheaded child. So it's fine.
Yeah, I know a little bit about how that feels. So in terms of, you've been out talking to the people and you're engaging and doing a lot on social media. What would you boil down kind of the most important issues to you that would want to represent North Carolina in Congress? What would be the most things, the things that are you're most passionate about after all your experience now?
Yeah, so, well, one is our small businesses. I'm literally looking out of my window and see vacant buildings all around me. I think the small business owners, North Carolina has been so hard on small businesses. But also from a district level, you know, like our representative, Deborah Ross, she's not knocked on my door, so I assume not anyone else's door.
Yeah.
To see and understand, like, this federal funding that's coming down, like, who actually needs it and why do these businesses need it? Or perhaps when do we cut it off? You know, we're past COVID. Like, we are past COVID. We need to, like, be bold enough to admit it and say, look, like, this thing was created in China. We all know that. We went through it. We survived. Like, it's been over 2 years, and we're still talking about potential mandates and lockdowns. And so for me, like from that debate and then from the NC State, the students just released an article this morning on me, which I was extremely surprised about. But in that article, they said when they listened to the debate that I invited them to, the biggest thing that stood out to them was somebody who's bold enough to stand against the mandates, to call them out as they are, and to like make them feel like there's hope. Because these students, when they tell you you can't get an education without a muzzle, that's not okay. And I told them, I will stand in front of you and they can take me before they take you, because you will not have to do anything unconstitutional. I think that that has destroyed our communities throughout and throughout our districts, because our representatives are just communists.
Yeah, that's the way that they're ruling the country now. That's exactly right. And then, of course, another issue that now everything's been pushed off the table, which was the plan because of what's happened with Roe versus Wade. So we're not talking about the economy. We're not talking about what's going on with our involvement in Ukraine. And we're not talking about the southern border. And the southern border is a total train wreck, which is going to affect not only Americans, it's affecting all the people that are coming there because it's setting them up for all the human trafficking and the nightmares down there. What about the immigration issue?
Yeah, so I actually I'm starting to just, like, write things down. So if, you know, I need to write a book, a diary, whatever, one day I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was looking at the immigration. We need to build a wall. I'm an immigrant, and we need to finish the wall, like, ASAP. I think it's ludicrous that we don't realize that Adina and her mom are not flying to, you know, cross the border because there's three innocent family. No, there's cartel, there's drug smuggling, there's human trafficking. It's absolutely criminal, and it needs to stop. And more so than that, did you know that there's only one office of ICE in North Carolina? It's in Charlotte. But there's nothing within North Carolina, like in Raleigh, that has like any, you know, there's like different levels of offices. I think it was the, I can't think of it right off the top of my head. But it basically is the group that is a liaison between the community and the people. And we don't have that. And we have the Chinese Communist Party infiltrating and taking our land and our businesses and our farms and our communities. And we don't have but one location in the whole state, and there's like several groups. So within all those groups and everything else, there's only one, and it's in Charlotte. So I think that if we need to obviously stop illegal immigration, but we need to also look at what's in our country and in our state and in our communities, and we need to enforce law and order, which also starts with the new sheriff, Donnie Harrison. So we need to have people that are bold enough to stop illegal immigration, build a wall, fund, right? We talk about federal funds going to education,
yeah,
and indoctrinating our children. Shift the funds. Give it to our veterans, our military, border patrol, security. Like, we need to protect our nation.
That's
so
right. Yeah, great point. Adina, how can people get involved? I'm up against the clock.
I really want the people to know and answer this. Like, number one, why do our candidates now live in this district, my opponents? Number two, you know, I brought this up with the GOP, and it needs to be addressed. Christine Villaverde voted mail-in absentee ballot,
yeah,
in Wake County 2020. Her husband in Lee County. And Max, my other opponent, wants to be a part of Ways and Means. Yes, he's not a politician, but it costs $500,000 and wants to be a part of that.
Yeah, so there's those are really important questions to ask about your competitors, and I appreciate you bringing them up. You can go check out more about Adina. You can reach out to her through her website, Adina for Congress. Facebook.com. Thanks for calling in, Adina. We got to run, but thanks so much.
You're the best, Steve. God bless.
God bless you, too. Talk to you later. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.